Sonny Bono is my guest, and he's written a new autobiography. It's called And the Beat Goes On. Sonny and Cher went through its high points and low points as a duo. What was the low point, and what was the most like horrible type of place to play?
The low point was kind of where you get ashamed, or I got ashamed of myself anyway, was, you know, achieving all this success as a musical act and then letting it slip away to almost oblivion, you know. And so it was a real low point for me, and I didn't know how to recover from it, and I didn't know what to do. Music had taken a left turn and gone in a totally different direction, and I couldn't philosophically hook up with it, and so I wasn't able to produce that kind of music. So I was kind of lost there, and that was absolutely the low point for us.
When was this?
That was about 1968, 67. Actually, things went on the wane. After about 66, things started turning the other way. And I think I wanted us to get into movies and things, and I don't know if I concentrated enough in music. I probably lost the interest that I had prior to this success. And so I wasn't writing the songs the way I was writing when I was really hungry. And then music itself changed, so it was real hard to get back into the scene again. And eventually we just couldn't get into it. So our market was gone. It was absolutely gone, and we were very cold. And so the only choice open to us then was to work nightclubs in hotels. There was still a nightclub circuit. Didn't pay very well. It would just keep you afloat, but at least you stayed in the business. And we did that. And now here we were working to thousands of kids, working to a couple hundred people in a nightclub audience. And it was way more intimate, way more scary. And Cher didn't like it at all because of the intimacy. And so she would avoid working directly with the audience. And sometimes both of us would. And that's, so we started that repartee just to kind of keep our spirits up on stage. It was sort of a, oh, well, screw them attitude, you know. Let's just be us. So we would tease each other. And it caught on. And so we continued with that, and as it caught on, it became more and more sophisticated and got incorporated into the act. And then a CBS executive, Fred Silverman, saw us at the Americana Hotel and gave us a summer show, and we were back on the scene again.
When you and Cher split up, I'll let the personal differences go, but what were some of the performing and musical differences between you?
I don't think we had musical differences. The only differences, the only thing that we had that was different was Cher never really wanted to do... Cher always wanted to be a rock singer, hard rock and roll singer, and she still does, I think, today. And... it just isn't her cup of tea. So I think in some sense, Sonny and Cher were corny for her after a while. They weren't at first, not right as we started, but later on she leaned more towards that rock and roll, and she had an incredible desire to go into that direction.
Why did you have a hard time keeping in the music business after you and Cher split up?
Why did I have a hard time staying? I had a hard time staying in anything after Cher and I split up. I think part of what the show did was, although I don't believe it, and I will always defend this, it was kind of like, well, Cher is the talented one and Sonny is like the doofus. But that image, I think, went across to America. And so when Sonny and Cher split up, Cher had more attraction and attention in the industry, and they just dropped me period. So nobody was in when the phone rang, and I just couldn't get into the industry at all. And to compound it, I really didn't want to let go of Sonny and Cher. Talk about confused, I guess that was the most confused time, because I didn't know anything else other than the industry, so I didn't know what to do, and I kept pursuing it, and the more I pursued it, the less response I got. And finally, the only thing that you can do in that business when you were once somebody and then not somebody is you can work a lot of love boats. So I think I held the record on Love Boat, and I'll never forget one day I was doing Fantasy Island, same producer, Aaron Spelling. So I do Love Boats and Fantasy Islands, and I'm sitting in a trailer, and I'm going, what am I doing? I said, you're either on your way up or your way down. So it was very, very depressive. You know, it wasn't as glamorous as I wanted it to be or as it's supposed to be, because you're really on your way down. And I think when I called Hervé Pontoon in my scene, I forget what his name was, but it wasn't Pontoon. God sent me a message. Get out of there.
It must have been especially aggravating to not be able to stay in the music business since you'd been the writer and the producer of all the records.
Yeah, I never didn't believe in my ability or my talent, so it was aggravating in that, well, wait a minute, you know, don't you know I'm talented too? And so that message just wouldn't come across, and the more you tried to pitch it, the less it came across. If I was in the same frame of mind that I am now, what I would have done and should have done is you just start right back at the bottom, and I probably could have worked my way up in a year or two and been fine. But having been on top, you want to kind of start where you're at, and you're not there anymore. So it's a Don Quixote kind of thing, you know. You're chasing windmills.
How did you end up getting into politics after music?
Politics. Well, the first thing that I had to do was I had to let go of Sonny and Cher, let go of the career, let go of all of that, and just be okay with me again. And then eventually I did start at the bottom. I opened a restaurant, and I was a busboy, a cook, everything. And I was the happiest I had been again, because I was creating my own actions, so no matter what it was. And when I let go of Sonny and Cher, my wife came into the picture, and we were having a good time. We moved down to Palm Springs. I had a home there for 17 years, and I wanted to get into business there, and I dealt with the city, and they seemed incredibly illogical to me about a lot of things. I needed a sign, and I was remodeling a house, and they weren't nice about it. And we would have these silly arguments about nothing, and I said, don't you realize you're holding back the growth of this town? And so then they red-tagged me because I was being a smart mouth to them. So then I went and talked to the mayor, and I said, look, mayor, you need this kind of thing in your town. And he was very nice about it, but they still didn't respond. So I said, well, I'm going to run for mayor then. And so I ran, and I didn't really stay stuck on my own particular issues, but I did start to notice that the town was sliding backwards, and that I felt it was moving in the wrong direction, and that it needed to be brought up into a contemporary period. So I got dedicated to it, and I enjoyed it. And so I landed on my feet in Palm Springs as a mayor.
Sonny Bono has written an autobiography called And the Beat Goes On. Who knows, there may be a Sonny Bono revival in the works. There's a forthcoming record called Bonograph, featuring up-and-coming rock bands interpreting Sonny's songs. We have an advance copy, so let's hear what the Frampton Brothers do with Sonny's song Bang Bang.
Thank you. five and she was six. Rode on horses made of sticks. She wore black and I wore white. She would always win the fight. Bang, bang, she shot me down. Bang, bang, I hit the ground. Bang, bang, that awful sound. Bang, bang, my baby shot me down.
This is Fresh Air.